There it is. I think so. All right. There we go.
Good morning, Pastor.
Yeah. Rashad's trying to sabotage me. I'll just throw it in there. All right. So we are going to be in the book of 1 Peter. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll start at chapter 1. But we're going to today look at how to recalibrate our longing. You see, we are to be longing for Christ because we belong to Christ. And so you guys have been looking at the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and how Peter is giving us a new recipe for spiritual growth. We see how we've been saved and we have such a great salvation, a spiritual inheritance, a genuine faith, a living hope. We are to love others sincerely and with fervence. But now we come to our text today. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 24, all the way to chapter 2, verse 3. And Peter is saying that we need to clean out the old leftovers that we've been keeping around since salvation. And you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about when you clean out the leftovers in the fridge. Not the ones that are one day old, but the ones that you don't even know what it is anymore. Those are the leftovers that we're getting out. The old man we're taking away out. You have to clean all of the old stuff away, no matter how nasty it is. So if we will stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 24. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you, and this is the word which we believe and we are saved by. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow into respect, in respect to salvation, if, or literally, since you have tasted the kindness of check. All right. There we go. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. We just saw, therefore, putting aside all malice. Ask yourself, what's more important, God's word or whatever you want to put in the blank? What's more important to me, God's word or my family? God's word or money? God's word or my spouses, my kids, whatever you want to put in there, what's more important to you? You see, the Bible will benefit you only as much as you treasure it. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have treasured, his lips I have treasured, the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So you see, our text today deals with spiritual growth, an examination. You see, it's time to grow up spiritually. How dare we know more about Andrew Luck's stats than we do the word of God? How dare we know how many catches T.Y. Hilton has, but we can't even memorize five verses? Peter says it's time for that to go away. We have to throw that off. Now, we're going to look at the idea that hunger for God starts with the taste, grows into a craving, changes your appetite, and leads to transformation. And we're going to knock out those 4 points. We are to be hungrier for God than we are now. Continue to hunger, to crave God. Look at verse 3. We're going to work backwards in the text. Verse 3. If or since you have tasted, you have experienced the kindness of the Lord. Peter is saying that since you have experienced the kindness of God, and where did we experience the kindness of God? In salvation. There should be evidence, a hunger, a craving since you've been saved. The Holy Spirit produces this craving. Now, do you have an opinion that God is good, or do you have an experience that God is good? Taste salvation. We have tasted it in reality. Have you tasted the sweetness of God, the beauty of being born again? Hunger for God starts with the taste. That's salvation. And then it grows into a craving. Look at verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. Peter implores this metaphor of a newborn baby. This is a baby who has just came out of the womb. And what does that baby crave? Milk. Why does it crave the milk? Because it comes from the creator of that baby. Why do we crave the word? Because the word is what birthed us to salvation. A baby, a newborn baby, does nothing but eat and sleep. It craves nourishment. And that is how we are to be. So we ask ourselves, what are we craving? What are we desiring? Are you desiring the artificial sweeteners of sin? What are you feeding yourself that you think is nourishing you, but it's really not? A better job, more money. What are you feeding your spirit? Because you have been born again, you crave God. You seek Him. Now, how many of us like candy apples? Candy apples. The apple is sweet in itself, right? But what do we do to it? We do what? We dip it into caramel sauce. How many of us are taking God's word that's sweet enough, but we're dipping it into man's opinions? We're dipping it into human point of view. Psalm 62, verse 1. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. And then Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants, it craves the water brook. So my soul pants for you, who? God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. You crave more of God. You just can't taste God and not want more. You see, food can fill our stomachs, but never our souls. Your possessions can fill your house, but never our hearts. Children can fill our days, but never our identities. Jesus wants us to know that only He can fill and only He can truly satisfy. You see, a hunger for God starts with a taste, grows into a craving, and then number 3, it changes your appetite. Once you get a taste of God, that's salvation, you start wanting more of God. That's sanctification. Sanctification is progressive. We move from glory to glory. We become more like Christ. The goal of discipleship is Christ-likeness. The Holy Spirit was not given to you to make you jump, run, shout, scream. The Holy Spirit was given to you to conform you to the likeness of Christ. As you start to crave more of God, sin slowly stops tasting so good. The more you experience the sweetness of Jesus, his beauty, sin stops tasting so good. You stop desiring the Twinkies of sin and self-love because that's only artificial. Only God satisfies and only God nurtures us. Psalm 107:9 says, God satisfies the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he fills with what is good. So, a hunger for God starts with the taste, grows into a craving, changes your appetite, and number four, it leads to transformation. Look at verse 1, 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Put away. The Greek there means to lay off, to lay aside, to throw off your dirty clothes, your garments. You put on the clothes that your Father has provided for you. It's time that we put off our grave clothes and put on our grace clothes. You put on Christ because Christ is always in style. Christ is always in fashion, and Christ goes with anything you have in your wardrobe. Peter says it's time to put off these clothes. It's a call to holiness. You are to purge these things from your life. So evil must be discarded before growth can occur. So as a Christ follower, there are some things, some attitudes, some behaviors that you have to take off. And so let's look at these things he wants us to take off. We have to get these things out of our diet. Sin in the life destroys sensitivity to the scripture. The more sin you have in your life, the less and less you want to read this book. Because this book will expose you and it will rebuke you. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. So let's look at the first thing we're to throw off. Lay aside what? All malice. Every instant, each occurrence, every form of malice. Malice, kakia, it means maliciousness, an ill will. You're harboring evil thoughts toward people. Peter says, throw this off. Spiritually, we have to strip this off if we're going to put on Christ. The next thing he says is get rid of all deceit, doulos, the decoy. It's a trick. It's a bait, a craft, the trickery of a person. You deliberately set out to attempt to mislead someone. Peter says this has to go. You're spinning the truth. You're adjusting the truth to make you look good. Peter says that has to go. And what's the next thing he tells us? And hypocrisy. What is a hypocrite? Anyone? What's the hypocrite? Yeah. Yep. A hypocrite comes from the Greek, means to wear a mask. You're wearing the mask of a Christian. You're playing the part of a Christian. You're always acting the part, but you're really concealing your real motives. You're wearing a mask. You're pretending to be something that you're not. For example, it's hypocritical to say you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're saved, and then you perpetrate violence and aggression in your home. To say Christ is Lord, and then you consistently act contrary to his example. Hypocrisy is a disconnect between what you say and what you do. Hypocrisy, you pretend to be interested in people, but your motives are selfish. You pretend you want to know what's going on in their life only for you to gossip, not to pray for that person. Peter says, get rid of envy, resentful at people for having stuff. This is an ill will, jealous. You see people through a different lens, and then you see your own life as a train wreck. It's kind of like you see people, they post a perfect life on Facebook and Instagram, and you're jealous of that perceived image. And then he says, get rid of slander. Kataleia, to speak down on a person. Backbiting, evil speaking. Put away all hurtful words. Slander is attempting to make yourself look cleaner by throwing mud at another person. You're literally shooting people with your words. You're harming them by whispering behind their back. You're defaming their character. We are to be humble with our words. Proverbs 12, 18. There is one whose rash words are like the thrust of a sword. You see, reckless words, careless words, they pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words can either be life-giving or life-taking words. There are enough negative and nasty words in this world. Every day we're bombarded with terrorizing words, toxic words that poison the environment. And Christians should not be promoting that. They should not be slandering people. Sometimes children have no appetites because they have been eating what? The wrong type of food. Junk food, candy. Likewise, a lot of us spoil our dinner by eating the wrong things. How many of you ruin your Sunday dinner here by what you eat on Saturday spiritually? You can't come on Sunday morning and enjoy the word because you've been eating junk food all through the week. So likewise, we have no appetite because we've been feeding on the wrong things. And Peter tells us, as children of God, you have to lay aside those worldly attitudes. So, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. If that itsy bitsy little taste that you know about God now is good, then you can be sure that as you open your heart, as you crave more of God, that living is going to get better and better and better, and you're going to crave His word, His mercy, His grace, and that joy that He brings. So we examine ourselves. If you don't have a craving for God's word, why not? Maybe you've never tasted His kindness in salvation. Maybe you were never saved truly in the first place. So you have to examine yourself. You see, reading and studying God's word should never be a burden. There are some Christians who have pages of this book. How many of us have more than one Bible in our house? And we barely pick it up. But there are people who would risk their lives just to read a few pages of this book. The underground church in China, they can't even clap their hands. They have to wave them in front of each other for fear of being killed just to study this book. Maybe you don't have a craving for God's word because there's sin in your life and you have to confess it, forsake it, and get back in the Bible. Or maybe you've ruined your appetite by feeding on the junk of this world instead of feeding on God's word, that which nourishes us. I want to close with this story of a missionary, Louisa Steed. One day she was at a beach, her husband, and their four-year-old daughter. They were having lunch, just sitting there. All of a sudden, they see this boy, and he's drowning. He's struggling in the water. So Mr. Steed runs to help. And of course, as you know, the people who are drowning, they're frailing, they're kicking their arms, and all of a sudden, they both go under. They both die. Mrs. Steed struggles with the reason of why her husband and that young boy died. She was like, Lord, we're missionaries, we're serving you, we're following your will, but yet my husband died trying to do a good thing. But she decided to trust God in spite of her questions. And she wrote a hymn that is probably familiar to us. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. As we stand to our feet, I want us to examine ourselves here. I want to look at Psalm 139. So if you'll all just stand. Use this time to examine yourself to see if there's anything in you that is keeping you from craving this book. What's keeping you from recalibrating your longing on Jesus? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. And I'm going to pray for you guys. Father, thank you for being God all by yourself. Lord, we ask that you will examine us and bring to light anything that is keeping us from hungering and thirsting after you. Lord, we admit that at times we have filled our spirits on the artificial sweeteners of the world and with sin. But we ask you to cleanse that from us. Create a desire in us to want nothing but the pure milk of the word. Father, create in us a deeper trust in you. That we don't always know the why, but we do know the who. And that is Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his wonderful, matchless name. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit us at our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.